Philippians chapter 4, starting from verse 1.
Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved.
St. Paul is starting here, therefore. When you say therefore, that means he said something earlier. If you remember, last Sunday we learned chapter 3. In that chapter 3, he was saying, beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of mutilation, or beware of people who are circumcised. Today he is again saying, therefore my brethren, and then he say, dearly beloved, and I long for my joy and my crown. So now he is saying how much he loves the Philippian church. Not only Philippian church, but all the churches he established. So he's saying, first of all, my brethren. And then he says, dearly beloved. And then he says, I long for my joy and my crown. He's saying, my joy is my believers. My crown is my believers. Each and every person who wins the soul, they are going to get the soul winner's crown. And we did studies on the crowns. And there are 5 different crowns. I don't have time to go all in details about those 5 crowns, but each and every believer at least will get 1 crown. But if you are a soul winner, you get 2 crowns. And so we have 5 different crowns, and you will be receiving many crowns when Jesus Christ comes. And so if you want to know more about, ask me, I'll give you the CD about crowns. But here he's saying, you are my joy and you are my crown. So what he's trying to say, last week we learned there are groups of people trying to destroy your faith. Like dogs, evil workers, and the people who are teaching about circumcision, which is not necessary for the believers. And those are the people are pulling you down. So he says, keep me joyful. And let me keep my crowns. And so he says, so stand fast in the Lord. So he says, now I bought you in the Lord Jesus Christ, and don't depart from Jesus Christ. When people lose their faith or become backslidden, that means they turn their back on Jesus Christ. So he says, I don't want you to go away from Jesus. Now you are in the Lord, and what you do, stand fast in the Lord. And again he says, my dearly beloved. So he is saying, I do not want you to go away from the Lord. Stay in the Lord. And if you stay, you are my joy and my crown. Verse 2.
I beseech Euodias and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord.
Now he is talking about a couple of people here. Euodias and Syntyche. Now, these two people are helping in the ministry. So he says, I want those people also be same-minded. Now, we learned last week what kind of same-minded he was talking. The mind like Christ. Christ-like-minded. Or the mind what Jesus Christ had. Or the mind what the Saint Paul had. So he says, we should be having one mind and one accord. Then we can serve the Lord. Verse 3.
And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers, whose names are in the book of life.
Now here is encouraging people. He says, I urge you, companion with me, and sharing the burden of Christ or the gospel. You are my workers, companions, together. Help those women. Now, he's saying those ladies, help me in the ministry. And many times some people ignore some ladies or the elderly people. He says those people help me in the ministry of the gospel. Now, today also we see every churches, there are more ladies than men. What the men doing in the Sundays, they go on football games. They are watching TVs or they might be doing something else. But the most of the ladies, they go to church. Jesus Christ says, also, there are ladies helping me with the finances. In those days, ladies were not working. But the husband works, and the ladies, they do shoppings and groceries and whatever. And so they save the money, that kind of money, they were bringing and giving to Jesus Christ. So St. Paul says, the same way, those ladies helped Jesus, those ladies helped me in the gospel, now you help them in the time of need. Whoever comes to church and they get old, and some people, they forget the old people. But the believers should be taken care of. You remember Jesus Christ said to Peter, in the beginning he says, I will make you the fishers of men. And when he got saved, and when Jesus Christ died, buried and rose again, Peter went for fishing. Those people were called to save souls or bring souls to the kingdom of God. And Peter says, now I'm going for fishing. And so other people said, okay, you are the leader, let's go with you. And what happened? They could not get anything. In the beginning, also when Jesus said to him, go a little bit deeper and you'll catch fish. He said, we toil whole night. But according to your word, I do it. And he got a lot of fish. So that time he says to Jesus, I'm not worthy. Get out of my boat. Jesus Christ said, don't worry. I'm going to make you the fishers of men. Now this is the second time after the resurrection. These people followed Jesus Christ almost 3.5 years. And they saw Jesus risen. But Jesus was not walking with them every day, every minute. Jesus was visiting many, many people. So this time, Peter says, I'm going to go for fishing. And same situation. This story is written in John chapter 21. But here, whole night, they could not find anything. Early in the morning, Jesus comes and says, children, do you have any food? You know this story. I don't want to go and tell you the whole story. But Jesus Christ already cooked the fish, and there was bread and everything. So can you imagine? These people whole night struggling and no food. Here Jesus Christ was saying, do you have any food? No, then I have it. Come and eat. And after eating and everything, then Jesus asked the question to Peter, do you love me more than these? Now some people say more than these means other disciples. Jesus will never ask that question to make animosity with other believers. He's saying, do you love me more than fishing business? Do you love me more than this food? And so he asked him 3 times. And then one time he said, if you love me, what do? Take care of the sheep. If you love me, take care of the lambs. If you love me, take care of the sheep. Then somebody says, one time he says sheep, another time he says lamb, another time he says sheep. Why he used the different words? In the church, we have people, the regular people, adults. Then we have, in church, we have young children, Sunday school children. And then we have other citizens, like a senior citizen. So in the church, there are 3 groups. What the people are doing, they have church for young people. Just come and dance and sing and do everything. But you will not see anybody having a service for the senior citizens. So what the word of God is saying, you take care of the little ones, you take care of the other sheep, and you take care of the older sheep also. That's what St. Paul is saying, these ladies helped me in the gospel. So now you take care of them because they helped me in the gospel. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 58, if you read, the word of God says, your labors in the Lord, they are not in vain. Whatever you do for the Lord, serving, witnessing, giving your tithes, coming to church, ministering to people, God notices everything what you're doing. Please read.
Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord.
So what he's doing, encouraging people, keep on serving the Lord. And he says, your labors are not in vain. God remembers everything what you're doing. So the word of God says, when you do something for the Lord, God will remember and there is a reward for you. So St. Paul is encouraging, help the people who are fellow laborers or have joined yoke with me and serve the Lord, help those people in the Lord. Okay, verse 4.
Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice.
He says, rejoice in the Lord always. And what? Again I say, rejoice. If you remember chapter 3, he was saying, rejoice in the Lord. And he says, I feel sorry to tell you again and again, but this is for your good. This is for your safety. So now he's repeating again, he's not feeling bad to tell you to rejoice. So he says, rejoicing is not for when you have good time. Rejoice always. In good days, in a bad days, and every situation, you should thank God that God is with you. God says, I will never leave you, never forsake you. But what our problem is, when we have problem, we are making our problem bigger than God. And then when we're looking for the problems, and when we get depressed, when we said there is no way out, and we get panic. What the word of God says, magnify the Lord. When you say magnifying the Lord means make your Lord bigger than your problems. And so we should be rejoicing in the Lord in each and every situation. And some people said when some bad things happen, why should be rejoicing? Just think somebody got a car accident and you are safe and your car is total. You stand there and look at the car and start crying? No. You should say, thank God I'm alive. Amen. Thank God that God protected me. God will give you a million cars. But one man's soul's value is more than the whole world. We have to think how God is protecting us and taking care of us. Our body is very fragile body. Very fragile. Our eyes and each and every organ is fragile. Other day I heard that lady was not even a Christian. Living in 120 years. She was born in 1888. And so I was thinking, if those heathen can live 120, we are blessed. We are washed by the blood of Jesus Christ. And we have eternal life. But what Christians are doing, they are not happy in this world. So they said, I'm tired of this world and all these crimes and all this problem. Lord, take me home. That looks like a selfishness. We learn in the first chapter, Philippians chapter 1, verse 21. St. Paul says, you know, it is better for me to go to heaven and stay with the Lord, but I want to stay with you and I want to be with you and minister to you. It is not good for believers to just say, Lord, take me home and be selfish. There are people dying without God and without Christ. When we think about Christ, how much suffering and how much pain he did to save mankind. What we are doing to please God. We are busy, busy, busy in our work. We have no time for the Lord. But the St. Paul says, let me tell you, rejoice in the Lord and always rejoice. And again I say, rejoice. So when you start rejoicing, devil has no time or no chance to discourage you. Devil is always looking, how can I discourage this person so he would not go to church? Some sickness, some disease, some problem comes. But the word of God says, if you start rejoicing and don't worry what devil putting on you, you start thinking, thank you, Jesus. Some good things you think about what God has done. But we're thinking all bad things and not giving glory to God. So once you start rejoicing, all our problems will be over. We don't sit and cry. You know, it says when you start rejoicing, each and every cell in your body start getting energy. Other day I was listening, yesterday, one man was talking about the brain. People were thinking in the old days, when you get old, your brain get old and you forget and you get Alzheimer's disease and that's it. So he said, every person thinks after 40 or 50, I'm finished. He said, but now there is a research done, even though you are 60, 70, 80, your brain still grows. And how your brain can grow? Not sitting on a couch and not crying and worrying. He says, start doing something. Start doing something, reading the Bible. He didn't say the reading the Bible, but I'm saying reading the Bible, searching the scriptures, doing something, and be active doing something means learning something. I heard that somebody's 95 years old and going to get a high school diploma. Some people say she might be crazy. But I can tell you, if she's 95 and got her diploma, she might live 120. Why? Because then she has a desire to go to college. She has to desire to do something else. And so point I'm making, instead of sitting and saying, I have nothing to do, you're bored to do something, give me a call. I can talk to you. I am not tired of talking. I'm not tired of preaching. If I tell you, you might be saying I'm bragging. I went to some church, fasting whole day, going house to house and telling people to come to church. And people, when they came to church, I start service in the evening 6 o'clock until morning 5 o'clock. And when the morning 5 o'clock service finished, one person comes and says, could you come to my house to pray for me? I said, sir, I was here whole night praying. Why could not come to the prayer when I was there? He says, so I am not sick. I have some other problem. What? I'm smoking. I want to give up my smoking. And then when I went there and he starts saying, you know what? I wish to work in the factory and that factory closed. And now we don't have a job, and all my 5-6 people, we were working in the same company. And that company is shut down. And so I said, you don't have money. No, but you said you're smoking. Is that cigarette comes free? So no, but you know, it's a habit. I don't have money to buy food, but I buy cigarette. So I prayed for the man. Instantly he got the cigarette. And God opened the door and all 7 people got the job in the same time. Whole family got saved. And when they got saved, whole family start coming to church, bringing all their tithes to Sunday service. The point I'm making, we have to rejoice and make other people to rejoice. Put God first in your life. Once you put Jesus first in your life, everything comes. I say this verse most of the time. What he says? Matthew chapter 6 verse 33. Now you guessed it. He says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And then what? All other things you seeking, those things will be added unto you. So this is the secret. When we rejoice in the Lord, we put Jesus Christ first and we love the Lord and you work for God and give time for God, then all other things will be added. But we don't have time for God, and we're running after money, we're running to after doctor, we're running after some kind of lottery, and we're running and getting tired, and we are getting worried. He said, secret is simply put Jesus in your life, and everything will be all right. Verse 5, Philippians 4, 5.
Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand.
Let your gentleness, or let your graciousness be known unto all men. Why is saying? Because we are living in the crooked generation. Our life should shine. We are the light of Jesus Christ. And we should be giving light to these crooked people, sinful people, and shine and tell them what Jesus Christ has done for us. So he says, Jesus Christ is coming. He says, the Lord is at hand. That means he's coming. Mark chapter 1 verse 15, he says, repent, the kingdom of God is at hand. John the Baptist preached the same. Now, St. Paul is saying, Jesus Christ is at hand. Jesus Christ came, preached about the kingdom of God. He said, I'm going, I'm going to prepare a place for you, and then I'm coming back to take you to that place. Then be gentle, be graceful, helpful to other people. Prepare those people for the kingdom of God. If somebody's house is on fire, and you have 4 or 5 children, an elderly person, and you are healthy and strong, what are you supposed to do? So what we have to do, try to rescue them. If you start running for our life, it's easy. But he says, Jesus Christ is coming. Be gentle, be gracious. Your life should be useful to others. That's what St. Paul says. I want to go home, but I'm living for others. I'm living for you. So Christian people's life should be like this. When you are born again, child of God, you have something to do. How can I win somebody with my love, with the gospel of Jesus Christ? You know what? Last time I went to Sunday service and I was so blessed. Would you like to come with me? I can pick you up. I can try to tell you how to come. Otherwise, I'll tell some of our church members to pick you up. Would you like to come and encourage people? So the word of God says, let your moderation be known unto all men. Means let the whole world know how you are gentle, how you are gracious, how you are loving, how you are kind. Let the whole world know. We want to let the whole world know. I'm going to church. Would you like to come with me? I can give you a ride. I can help you. Come on. Going to church is a blessing for you. If you're sick, that's the time you go to church. If you have financial problem, that's the time you go to church. You will hear somewhere, somehow, and you'll get the blessing. So he said, let all the people know your life, what kind of life you're living. And why are you saying that? Because the Lord is at hand. Jesus Christ is coming, so we do not have time to waste. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6.
Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God.
Be careful for nothing. And somebody says, you said, you should not be careful. He says, do not worry about anything. Do not worry about anything, but everything, whatever you need, bring that thing to God in prayer. And then you say, and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be known unto God. When you come for prayer, what you do? Pray for others before you pray for yourself. Your self-prayer should be last. You start praying for your country, your president, your neighbors, your friends, your relatives, your wife, and the children. And then last you pray for you. So he says, start your prayer with a supplication and what? With thanksgiving. Always say, God, give me this, give me this, give me this, give me this, give me this. But he said, never say, thank you, God, for giving me car. Thank you for giving me house. Thank you, my heater is working. Thank you, my water supply is good. Thank you, Lord, for giving me grace to go to work. Thank you, Lord, that I'm healthy. We are not saying. We're sitting on a prayer, say, Lord, I want this. How long I'm asking, Lord, where are you? Are you sleeping? You're not listening to me. We have to be thankful that we have 2 eyes. Our lungs are good. We are walking. We are healthy. Thank God. Thank God for every day before you get up from your bed. Say, thank you, Jesus, that I'm alive. And alive for what? Alive for you. What I'm going to do for you. So he says, start prayer, supplication, thanksgiving, then your request you should make known to God. If you start coming to God complaining, 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 and not thankful, you are not going to get answer. Just think that your brother or father or mother or sister, you said, could you give me $1? Take $10. I have need for $100. Take $1,000. You keep on giving, keep on giving. And then you are not thankful. One day he said, you know, today I don't have money. Then you start bitter about you 99 times he gave you, one time he said no, you start fighting and war and quarrel and everything. You're not thankful that this person helped you billion times. That's the nature of person. We have to be thankful to God what he has done. Before you ask anything, you remember what he did for you. When you are thankful for little thing, the word of God says, the God will give you more things, or greater things. So we have to start with the thanksgiving. Don't worry about the future. Be careful for nothing. If you read in Matthew chapter 6, start reading from verse 25.
Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? Why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, they toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you, that even Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things.
See, all of these things Gentiles seek. What does it mean? The people who do not have faith in God, those are the people are worried. Those are the people are seeking those things. But, read 33.
But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you.
Amen. All these things will be added unto you. When? When you seek the Lord. So that's what he says. Be not careful or be not worried about anything. But what you do? But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. Philippians chapter 4, verse 7.
And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.
Now, see what he's trying to say? When you don't worry about tomorrow, then God's peace comes in your heart. Because worry makes you panic. Just think that you have nothing to worry about today. Come for free scanning or breast cancer or prostate cancer free checkup. And you go there and doctor says, I found something in your lungs or something in your breast or you have some kind of prostate problem. What happens? All your joy and everything is gone. When you come home, depressed. I heard other day a commercial. The lady said, I went to the doctor, a cancer place patient, and doctor told me you have 2 months to live. 2 months. She said, I got so panicked, I don't know what to do. And then I went to another hospital, and she said, when I went there, they checked me up. She said, who told you you're going to die within 2 months? And she said, I'm completely healed, no cancer, because those people talked to me about God and not to worry about anything, and I'm healed. See, worry can kill you. So that's why he said, don't worry. But he says, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and mind through Christ Jesus. Some of the things you do not understand, don't worry about them. Don't do research on them to make you more nervous. Just trust in the Lord. Read the Bible more. Pray more. And spend time with God. You will have peace. The Word of God says, if you worry too much, you will lose your peace. trust in the Lord, and he says, then the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and mind through Christ Jesus. Your heart and mind should be trusting Jesus Christ. In your heart, you will have Jesus all the time. In your thinking, think about God. Think about good things. Okay, let's read verse 8.
Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things.
Okay, I want everybody to read this scripture. Please read. Think on these things. So all these things you keep it in your mind. What I'm thinking. Am I thinking about these things? You read it. He says, whatever things are true, don't take any false report. Even the doctor gives you a report, don't take that report so seriously. The word of God says, Isaiah 53, who has heard our report? What is that report when you keep on reading underneath? Jesus Christ came into this world to take your sickness, disease on the cross, and with his stripes you are healed. That's the report. He says, who has heard my report? Because you report hearing the doctor's report and get panicked. One lady came and said, please pray for me. I have so many daughters. Means she has daughters and no son. I'm pregnant now. Please pray that I could get a son. I prayed and said, Lord, give her a son. She went for a checkup. She said, Pastor Peter, I have a bad news. I said, what? The doctor says I'm going to have a daughter. I said, sister, you asked prayer. I prayed with you. Matthew chapter 18 verse 19 says, two people on earth agree and pray, our God will hear the prayer. I believe my God heard the prayer that we asked the boy. And she said, then what the ultrasound says is a girl. I said, your machine is wrong, your doctor is wrong, Jesus is never wrong. When the baby comes, then call me. When she delivered the baby boy. How it happened? God can change anything. God can prove that doctor was wrong or machine was wrong or something they saw wrong, they did not give the right report. So he said, trust in a good report. Trust the God is true and everything is a lie. Once you pray for something, the devil will come right away and say it's not going to work. It's not going to happen. We have to renounce whatever the devil is saying. We have to say, if the devil says something, is he going to tell you the truth? No. Devil is always liar. So when he comes through the doctors or through the machines or somebody and say, you have now kidney disease. You have this liver disease. You have some heart disease. You heard it and you start thinking about it. Why don't you say, Lord, I heard what they say, but I know who is my creator. You created my heart. You created my kidneys. You created my every organ. Why should I believe on those things? I want to live for you. That God can touch you and heal you. That's what it is. You have to believe in the true report. Whatsoever things are honest. Don't think dishonest things or whatever people say. Our God is a good God. When God says something, our God is never deceives anybody. He always tells the truth. So I'm trusting in the Lord. When something seems completely different, but I don't think what the doctor says or what the report says. He says, but don't you know this ultrasound is done? I don't care about ultrasound. I believe my God is able to do what I am asking him. I did not raise any person from the grave. But I'll tell you what I did. What I did means in the name of Jesus. The lady is standing on the street and crying. Her stomach is like a 10 months pregnant. When I'm passing by, I say, sister, why are you crying? He says, my baby is dead in my womb. And what are you doing here? Why didn't the doctor take the baby out? The doctor says, there are so many other ladies ahead of you. So you go home and I'll call you when I'm finished with this lady. She said, but the poison, the baby's poison is going in my body and I'm going to die. So I said, did you hear the story of Lazarus? Now it sounds funny. When you are dying, your baby is already dead and the poison is going to your heart and you're going to die, and the story of Lazarus, nothing. She said, I heard that story. We are Christian. I said, what that story says? The Lazarus was dead for 4 days and a grave buried. Your baby is not buried yet. How long ago you heard this news? 24 hours. I said, only one day. The baby is dead in your womb one day. Lazarus was dead 4 days. Do you believe that Jesus Christ raised the Lazarus? He's still alive today? She said, yes, I believe. See, people can say believe, but you have to believe means really believe. So I said, if you really believe, I'm going to lay hand on your stomach. And I'm going to pray and ask God to touch that baby, and the baby will be alive. And I prayed. After prayer, she did not say, oh, baby moved. Didn't say anything. Baby is still dead. I said, sister, I prayed for you. Now that baby is alive. The doctor who told you the baby is dead, he's a wrong doctor. Don't go to him. Go to another doctor and see what that doctor says. She went to another doctor. She delivered the baby girl. Now that girl is almost 45 or 50 years old. So if I would have said, well, the baby is dead, so what? I said, no. Believe our God is a greater than what the doctor said. And the baby is still alive. The point I'm making, hear the honest report from God. Don't discourage. Whatsoever things are just means the things are not wrong or wrong judgment. You think our God is a just God, He is a righteous God, and I am His child. Nothing, no harm, no danger could come to me. I trust in my God. Whatsoever things are pure means don't go and mix up with the people who are unholy, unclean spiritually, doing wrong thing. Do the right thing. Keep your mind pure and holy. Don't keep your mind with the bombarded other things and polluted with the worldly pollution. Keep your mind pure. Whatsoever things are lovely. I tell the people, when you are pregnant, think about good things. Think about lovely things, godly things. Sing songs. Praise God. Read the Bible. Don't fight. But if you start fighting and war, your baby can listen. And some husband can punch in your stomach or kick you in your stomach. So don't try to fight. Think about some good things. And go look at the flowers, look at the water, look at the sceneries, and just start praising God. When you're cranky all the time, you're fighting all the time, that child will be born, will be fighting and cranky all the time. Whatsoever things are good report. Think about good report. If somebody starts giving you bad report, I don't want to hear. I do not want to think negative. I want to think my God is with me. If I'm doing in a business deal, I'm doing for God. I'm purchasing something, I'm doing for God. I'm living in this world, I'm living for God. So why should I believe something wrong? Even though somebody says it doesn't work, I believe it works. If that lady's baby is dead, Dr. Pruan, the lady is saying she's dead, and she's crying that baby is dead and I'm going to die, I'm saying, no, baby is not dead. You go to another hospital and deliver the baby. It works. When Jesus Christ came, he says, the Lazarus is sleeping. He says, oh, if he's sleeping, let him sleep. He will wake up. Then he said, he's dead. Now he's dead, then why are we going? He said, I'm glad that you are with me now, so you will see the glory of God. Amen. our God is able to do things which is impossible, then we believe in him, he can do impossible things. I told you one time, the lady went to the checkup. She's a Christian, born again Christian lady. She went to checkup and doctor says, your two breasts full of cancer. And now that means this cancer is advanced cancer. And not in one breast, both breasts. Now what she could do, she never went for checkup. She didn't know that she has it. Now she said, wait a minute, doctor, and I'll come back and I'll prove it to you. Now this doctor says, what she's going to prove it to me? And she had this white sheet. She took all these clothes off to examine. And now this white sheet, and she ran from the hospital. Where did she go? She went to the mountain and started crying. Lord, why this cancer I have and I didn't know it? If I had known, I would have prayed to heal me. But now I know. I know you can heal me. And she was praying and praying and crying, and here comes the rain, and she's in a soaking in the rain and praying, and here comes the police car and the white sheet lady crying in this. So he stopped the car. He said, lady, what are you doing here? He said, sir, you might be coming from the hospital to arrest me because I ran from the hospital. He said, I don't know you were in the hospital. She said, take me back to the hospital. So she goes with that kind of clothes, dirty clothes, and she calls the doctor. Doctor, check me out. Now, I don't know. She cried 5 hours, 2 hours, 3 hours. I don't know. That's the only thing she did. Went to the God, talked to God and prayed and cried. And she said, now check me. And he checked. No cancer. How it happened? Jesus healed the cancer instantly. She did not take that report. She said, no, not me. I cannot have cancer. I'm a child of God, and I cannot have cancer in my body. And she was completely healed. I heard the testimony of that lady on the TV. Okay. So what is trying to say? If there is any virtue, if there is any praise, think on these things. So when you have a problem, think on good things, what God has done. Verse 9.
Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity.
Now he's saying, you know, what I am doing, and you have seen me, what kind of job I do. And what I did it for the Lord. So you do, learn from me if you don't know how to do it, and do it what I was doing. And then verse 10 he says, but I rejoice in the Lord greatly, that now at the last, your care of me hath flourished again. What does it mean? He said, you gave me money a lots of time. When I had the need, you gathered the money from your church and you supplied my need. And now I see that you have a desire more than before to give it to the Lord. And so he says, you were looking for opportunity to help me, and now you don't have anything lacking to give it to me. Means last time you had less money, but you gave, now you have more money. So you will be giving more. And he said, why I'm saying this? Because you people always wanted to give it to me, and I used it for the glory of God. So he's trying to encourage these people to give more to the Lord. And you see a little bit further. Keep on reading. Verse 11.
Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content.
Now, St. Paul is saying, listen, when I'm talking to you, giving money to me in the Lord's work, don't think that I'm greedy. Don't think that I want money from you. He said, I am okay. I can live with a hungry and thirsty and naked and everything. I am not sitting and complaining to God. Why me, Lord, I'm preaching the gospel and I don't have a good suit? Why me, Lord, I'm preaching the gospel and I don't have a good house? Why, Lord, I'm doing your work and I don't have this and I don't... He said, I'm not worried. Christian people should be satisfied people. We are not going to look at the neighbor's car and say, Lord, he has a Cadillac and I don't have it. He has seven children and I don't have it. And he has this. I'm not looking for neighbors. I'm not jealous. I'm not envying. My God is all-sufficient God. I'm just thinking about God. He says, I know how to live in prosperity. I know how to live when I don't have money. Why he's encouraging people to give, verse 12.
I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I am instructed, both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me.
Okay, now what he's trying to say? He's saying, listen, I can live in prosperity, I can live in poverty, I know how to live, I'm not complaining anytime. And he says, if I want to do something, if I put mind to do something, I can do it. He said, I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. You should never think or never say to somebody, I cannot do this. It is impossible. There is nothing impossible with God. When I came here to America, I came with an international driver's license. And everybody says, if you go to America, their left-hand driver, your right-hand driver, you get confused. I said, no. I can do all things through Christ. I called AAA, took one lesson, and that one lesson he took me on 95 and all the highways and everywhere. And the first time in America, I learned driving one lesson. After that lesson, he took me for inspection, and the police comes and gave me some tests, and I passed, and I got the license the same day. So point I'm making, I didn't say, when I came from India, I said, I'm going to go to America, establish the church, International Christian Fellowship, and then we will preach the gospel around the world and all of these things. My own brother, who is younger to me, he said, it's so difficult. I don't think you should go to America. I never preached in English in India. But thank God, now I can go anywhere in the world and preach in English. In India, I learned almost 8 languages, not fluently, but every major language I know. Any state I go, I can communicate with them. I have no problem. The hardest language is Malayalam. In Malayalam, I can understand 99%. And you might have seen sometimes some people come, Malayali pastors or somebody comes from India and they speak in Malayalam. I translate them in English. So point I'm making, I didn't settle in one language. I know the national language. You know the national language? It's Hindi. So point I'm making, we can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth us. Verse 14, let's finish soon.
Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica, ye sent once and again unto my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God.
Okay, now what he's trying to say, when you're giving to me, not because I need it, but when you give, that's like a sweet-smelling savor to God. When you give to God, God is pleased. Okay, verse 19.
But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus.
Okay, read the following 23 verses and we will finish.
Salute every saint in Christ Jesus. The brethren which are with me greet you. All the saints salute you, chiefly they that are of Caesar's household. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen.
Amen. Now, what he was messaging in the last message, he said, my God will supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And then he saluted and he said, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. So what he's trying to say, you have lots of needs. Don't worry. Our God is able to give it to you. Don't look at me and say, I am begging. I am not begging. I am doing it for your glory, and I'm doing it for your prosperity. Shall we rise? I'm sorry, I was not looking at clock. We are over time. Can you forgive me? Okay, let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. You are a great God. You have started a good work and you are going to complete it. Bless your people and supply their needs. Because our God is all-sufficient God. We commit ourselves into your loving hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen. And amen. Please be seated.